It was like a massive 30 ton gorilla had been removed from my shoulders.
Hey, podcast listener, you're about to discover insider tips, tricks, and secrets to making more sales and converting more prospects into customers with email marketing. For more information about the Email Marketing Podcast or the Autoresponder Guy, go to dropdeadcopy.com/podcast.
It's John McIntyre here, the autoresponder guy from themcmethod.com. I'm here with my buddy Shiv, one of my best coaching clients, probably the best coaching client I've ever worked with, actually, because this guy comes in, he's just in a coffee hour with Derek Johansson, and then he comes in and does my masterclass, and just goes down through the steps, applies everything, gets results. I think you got a client or a couple clients first, and then you came in for coaching. And then we just did the same thing again. You would ask for advice. I'd give you a list of things to do. You'd come back a week later and it's all just done. And you did that every week for the whole time we were working together and you were making money. We did a JV together. You've just been like, so it's kind of like the thing in my world, and you'd be knowing this too, now that you're working with clients, coaching people. Giving people the information on what to do is really the easy part. The hard part is, do they actually do it? And you are, I think, the first person that I've worked with that just did everything. You were relentless. So I just want to put that out there to sort of set you up as you're a machine, man. And it's been great working with you and just watching your path. So welcome to Shiv. And mate, but to begin with, before we get into any tips or strategies here, tell me about your story. I'll tell the listener about your background. I've kind of given them a bit, but let's go a bit deeper.
Yeah, sure. So I think the whole story begins first year of university. All right. So I was 18 at this time. And my entire life, I had this total tunnel vision. My idea of success was I'd go to school, get good grades, go to university, get a degree, get a job, like stay in that job for 20, 30, 40 years, peak at about 80K a year, and quietly die of a heart attack at like 85. That was my idea of success. And I was completely like zoned in, tunnel vision on that. And I got to university, got to my first year, and my entire life up to that point had been like, my goal was to get to university. So I got there, did my first year of university. I came back home and the illusion just sort of shattered. I'm not sure what it was that brought this along, but my reality just shifted and I realized, like, I hate this. What have I done? This is not the path that I want to take. I don't want to be some middle manager at a bank somewhere. Like, there's got to be more to life. So I took it upon myself to start looking up ways to make money. But of course, at that time, I didn't have an entrepreneurial bone in my body. So the only way I knew how to make money was by investing. So I started looking up investing stuff and getting into investing. And then my uncle, who is an investor, he gave me a book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And that changed everything for me, as I know it did for tons of other people. It's normally that or like the 4-hour work week. But for me, it was Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I read that book and it gave me like an entirely new paradigm. It made me go from being someone who was a complete conformist to being someone who's a complete contrarian. It was like a total pendulum shift reading that book. And then I knew I wanted to start my own business, do my own thing, like screw what everyone else is doing, screw the crowd. So I went about just starting my own online businesses and sort of going down that rabbit hole. You know, when you first jump into this whole world, you don't really know about all the opportunities that are out there. And then once you start looking and doing more research, it goes the other way and you're now bombarded with tons of different opportunities. So I started various different businesses. Like I had one that was called Popcase, selling phone cases online. That was a dropshipping business and that failed. But I sold the website, which is the first money I ever made online. And then we had the second business, which is called Home Hub. And I thought this was like going to be some sort of cool homeware items sort of product selling e-commerce store. But that bombed even harder than the first one. And then we had the third business, which is selling custom print shirts online. And that made a bit of money, but that bombed as well. I'd spent like 900 quid on Facebook ads out of my student loans. I had about £300 left to actually eat. That was about the time where I realized I needed to build skills. And that eventually led me down the path to copywriting. And it was just a perfect fit for me because I loved writing, I loved psychology. It was just, it all just sort of clicked in that moment. This was after the second year of university now. Coming into the summer of second year, and I got really into copywriting. Started doing the classic handwriting out old sales letters, just like, you know, searching up how to be a copywriter, how to learn copy. And that's when I came across your course, actually, your email. What's it called again? Sorry, the method, isn't it?
The masterclass. Kind of the name's changed a few times, yeah.
Yeah. Right, that's the one. So I saw that. I watched your webinar, which is like how to make $10,000 from simple, fun emails. And I was sold like hook, line, and sinker. So I asked my parents if they would be able to invest in that course on my behalf because it was my birthday. So most other people my age who were turning 20 were asking for like money or a car, but here I was asking for an email copywriting course. But anyway, very grateful to them. They invested in it. I joined it, devoured it in less than a week. Went through all of the stuff and really worked hard on improving my chops. And then it came down to getting clients. Now, at this point, I took a step back and I just sort of looked around to see what everyone else was doing, what all other freelance copywriters were doing to land clients. And I couldn't help but notice it was just a total mess. Everyone was just taking the scatterbrained approach, jumping from strategy to strategy. They had no processes, no systems in place. They didn't really know what they were doing. It was just a total scatterbrain, hit and hope, pray and spray and pray, sort of shotgun blasting attitude towards landing clients. And again, back to Rich Dad Poor Dad, where that book made me a complete contrarian. Like, I didn't want to do what everyone else was doing because of that book. So again, it showed up here in my life, and I looked around. I was like, I don't want to do what everyone else is doing, all the other copywriters are doing. So I took it upon myself to create my own process and my own system that I could use to land clients on demand. Now, at this time, I was at a place in my life where I was coming into the third year of university, right? So it's okay, I could slack off the first year because in the UK, the first year doesn't really count. As long as you pass, that's fine. Second year, like, I was okay to just sort of breeze through second year. But third year, like, this is the time where I had to either do the work or like drop out. Those are my two options. So I had my personal tutor emailing me being like, where are you? Because I wasn't going to any lectures or seminars. I had the head of the political school, which, because I was studying economics and politics, so the head of that whole school at the university was emailing me saying, where are you? My lecturers and my seminar leaders are all emailing me saying, well, you haven't been to anything, what's going on? I was on the verge of being kicked out of university. But I knew that I couldn't just drop out because I'd already signed for a house at the university town that I was in. So if I dropped out, then I'd have no way to actually, like, my parents are paying for the rent and I'd be really screwing over my parents because I wouldn't be at university and I'd obviously just be like chilling there. They'd be paying the rent for me and I wouldn't get my student loan anymore, which would mean my parents would have to pay for all my stuff. And I couldn't drop out and come back home, right? Because I live in the southeast of England and my university is in the north of England, because I'd be screwing over my housemates who I'd already signed a house with. They'd have to pay more rent because they had one less person there. I couldn't stay at university because I absolutely hated it. I didn't want to do my degree. So I was in this really awful position where I just had to I had to land clients. I had to get some money coming in, or, you know, stuff, something was going to implode, something was going to break. So I knew that I needed to create a process and a system for landing clients that wouldn't take me forever. I didn't have months to set up and start building a list or start posting content. I knew that it had to work pretty quickly and it had to give me, you know, it had to land me high enough, high quality clients who would actually be able to pay me the money that I needed, frankly. That's when I created this process. I sort of Frankenstein different ideas that I liked. I cherry picked things that other people were doing and I combined them into one process of my own. It was an outreach process and I sort of did it the first time, just sent it out. And that landed me my first client who his name is Andrew, and he is one of the most successful bodybuilding comp coaches in Australia. So he's a great client to work with. So I thought I was onto something. And the next day I repeated the process after refining it slightly and tweaking a few things. And I'd landed a second client. And this time it was a Hollywood A-list personal trainer. And this guy has clients like Jessica Chastain, who plays Wolverine, Hugh Jackman, Ryan Reynolds, so like really big A-listers. He trains them, and I was working with him on his online business. And after a few more iterations and testing and improving and tweaking, I wanted to optimize this process for retainers specifically, because I wanted to have that consistent income, which again I needed. If I was going to drop out of university, I had to be able to pay the bills consistently, because I wouldn't be getting my student loan anymore. That's when I landed a $5,000 a month retainer with a 10 million a year business coaching company in the fitness space. So yeah, that's sort of my background, my story, and how I ended up with the process that I now call the Flaming Camel.
Love it. I love it. Well, I remember when you first emailed me about this, it was like, holy shit, like this guy's just, how many people? Because it was 2 or 3 months. Didn't you do like, you did my course and then a couple of months later, you were landing one of these, you know, 5K, you landed the foot, like you landed these clients a few months after you started, right?
Yes. After like taking it seriously and going through your course. Yeah.
Right. Which is amazing, right? Because I get people all the time who are, you know, emailing me and saying, oh, I really need, I've been studying this for a year or 2 years and I've done all these different courses and, you know, I'm really good at copywriting, but I just don't know how to get clients. Where do I start? And then you email me and you've done it in a couple of months. It's like, what the hell is going on here? How did you do it? Why is, I don't know what the difference is. It's probably that you just take a hell of a lot of action. So, but you also picked the right kind of, strategy for some, you know, maybe intuitively or something like that. You were guided to the right kind of approach from the very, very beginning. Which it's just amazing. It's like I've never met anyone who's like picked it up, who's gotten clients, who started getting paid, and you know, not just a small amount, but $5,000 a month. That's a solid salary for a year, especially to start. It's amazing.
It was like a sort of perfect storm of absolutely having to make it work with the situation I was in. And like cherry picking all the best bits. And also, I can't lie, a little bit of luck, I'm sure, sprinkled in there as well. But yeah, I made it work. And again, it was a situation, like I had to make it work. So yeah, I did.
And how did you feel after you'd done all of that and you'd gone from the stress of not knowing that you might not be able to pay the rent, you might have to move home with your family, and there's all these sort of unknowns. And then you landed that 5K a month client. When that money first came into the account, the first payment, how did that feel?
Oh, man. Sweet relief, definitely huge relief. It was like a massive 30-ton gorilla had been removed from my shoulders, so definitely relief. Apart from that, it was like, I guess it was validation that I could do this, because I had those three business failures like I mentioned. So it's like nothing had really worked, nothing had really stuck for me. But just the validation that I could actually do this and make money with freelance copywriting was quite a great feeling. Pride as well.
Yeah. I mean, it's an amazing thing when you go from that whole, the question mark of, is this really possible? Can I like really do this? Can I actually make money on the internet? And then it starts to happen and it's just, oh, it's, oh my God, this actually works. Check this out. So I love it, man. And then, so what happened after that was, because you know, to continue with the story, is you then, gave it a net. You figured out this sort of process for finding these clients. You then came to me, I think, and your goal initially was to scale it, to get more of these kind of clients, or figure out like, can you get 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 of these guys paying $5,000 a month? Can you hire some other copywriters? Because then we did that for a while. This is my, from my memory, this is what happened, right? And then from that then led to what you're doing now.
Yeah. So it got to a point where I was getting completely booked up with work. So, all the other, so
it's worked too well.
The outreach processes that I was executing, I'd sent out quite a few of them, and even after I was getting pretty booked up with work, I was having people messaging me and replying back saying, you know, this is really good stuff. Let's get on the phone. Let's have a chat. Let's talk to me more about what you do. And I didn't want to work with them because I was getting to a point where I was totally booked up. And yeah, like you said, I thought the next step would be to build an agency or something and start like hiring copywriters and maybe training copywriters. But that was just my idea of personal hell, is building out a full blown like agency and a team. Cause I'm very much like firstly I'm more of like a natural introvert. So I don't like the idea of actually building a team. And secondly, I'm very much like a freedom guy. I'm happy to sacrifice, six figures for freedom. Like I'm really big on that. Especially back when I was a freelance copywriter, that was a really big thing for me. Like I wanted the consistent income so I could drop out and have the money. That was great. But for me, it was all about freedom. So yeah, I came to you and we had a chat about it. And I said, well, I thought the only way to move forward and keep growing was to keep landing clients and build out an agency. But that's when you said, I think, what about your client getting process? You've done in 3 months what most copywriters take a couple of years to do. I think you said that you've got a ton of people on your list that who'd love to learn my process. And at that time, I didn't even think that what I had was all that. I didn't think it was that. I hope that doesn't come across as arrogant. Like I didn't think that what I had was particularly impressive, but it was you who convinced me to teach other people, because this is something that a lot of other freelance copywriters really struggle with. And I only learned that after you told me, and we did that joint venture together.
Well, that's what's so fascinating about probably anyone in any field, but specifically with copywriting, you get because that was part. This is one of the things that we worked on with you, right? You came in and your copy was actually pretty good. I think you have a knack for it, sort of a natural talent or knack for it. But when you know you've only really been doing it for a few months and you haven't had a coach or anything like that before, there's this tendency to sort of be hypercritical and think, well, I don't really know very much. Like, I mean, as far as you're concerned, you don't have the same perspective on the, I guess you could say, the copywriting market or understanding, because you're just getting into it. So you don't know that getting clients within 3 months, a 5K a month client within a few months of starting is insane compared to what most people get. And so I think that's part of our coaching, right? It's kind of me just kind of saying, well, actually the reality is like this whole 3 month thing, this is amazing, you know, or like your copywriting is actually pretty good. This process that you've got, it's great. This could add a ton of value to people who are just getting into it. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So with that in mind, the whole reason we decided to do this podcast, right, is so we could unpack some of your process and some of the, you said the nuggets that you've sort of got or discovered or developed as you've been through this, because there's a lot of freelance copywriters or aspiring freelance copywriters. Some of them may have been spending the last year or 2 years trying to find clients or trying to figure this out. And so let's talk about that. We've got three tips. And then we've got a resource where people can go and learn more about you and sort of go a lot deeper and get the actual process if they want. So, but we'll get to that in a second. Let's start with the tips. We've got three.
Sure.
So,
yes. So the first thing I would say, I think, to any freelance copywriter, whether they're just getting started or whether they're making some money, landing some clients, but don't have to go to the next level, is to stop the spray and pray approach, to stop the shotgun blast. And what I mean by that is jumping around from like cold email and then going to networking events and then like doing guest posts or like podcasting and then reaching out to businesses on LinkedIn. Just like, you've got to stop the scatterbrain approach. Just choose one, like whatever it is, just choose one strategy, because they all work. Like network, of course, going to networking events works. Of course, reaching out to businesses on LinkedIn works, but just choose one of them and go all in on it. So that's what I did. And that's like the sniper approach versus the shotgun approach. That's probably the biggest thing I can tell you, is to just focus on one, go all in on it. See if you can turn it into a process as well, as opposed to just a strategy that you're following. See if you can make it repeatable and do it over and over again to get like your desired outcome. All about the sniper versus the shotgun. And second tip would be how to package a retainer. Now, this might be slightly controversial, but big hat tip to Chris Wozniakowski for this, who I learned it from. And I use the buffet model to package retainers. So what I suggest is for a flat fee, and I think a good starting point is between 3K and 5K a month. So a flat fee, you just say, I'll write all your copy. So whether that be emails, sales pages, landing pages, autoresponders, like broadcast emails, all that stuff, Facebook ads, right? You just say for like 4K a month, I'll do all of the stuff that you need and that you want. So firstly, when you package it like this, it's an absolute no-brainer to your client, because they're getting incredible value from that. And secondly, yes, while it is a ton of work, especially up front, it is going to be a lot of work, not going to lie to you. What will happen is you'll get really good really, really fast, because you're doing so much with quite tight deadlines. So you'll learn the offer and the audience back to front. And then, you know, you'll learn what, you'll understand the list, what they resonate with, what they don't resonate with. You'll develop your chops quicker. You'll write high converting copy faster when you do that. So thinking back to one of my own retainers, one of my 5K month retainers. I packaged my retainer with the buffet model, and there I got good really fast. But at the same time, like, it also allows for you to fail quite a lot. So again, thinking back to that same retainer, I remember the first month that we did together, I wrote a 30 email sequence that just totally flopped. It bombed. It was just awful. Like, the average open rate was below like 15%. Clicks were barely scraping 1%. And I can't even use the excuse of deliverability, because deliverability was pretty decent. I can't use the excuse of bad list, because the list was proven. And I can't use the excuse of bad offer, because again, it was a proven offer on that list. So in that case, I had screwed the pooch and then set it on fire. But because I had packaged my services in the buffet model, right, it wasn't just like, I'll write 30 emails for you. It was, I'll do 30 emails and then, you know, Facebook ads and sales pages and landing pages. He was very, very receptive to give me a second go and saying, okay, this hasn't worked. Let's see what you can do moving forward. Because again, like, I was doing all of his stuff, wasn't just doing the 30 emails. And again, I just, you know, sacked up instead of feeling sorry for myself and had another go. And then, yeah, the next series of emails was much better. And then from there, because I bombed so hard that first time, I figured out, okay, all of this stuff does not work. The audience does not resonate with these angles. Let's try something different going forward. And yeah, that's what I did. So that's what I would suggest, packaging retainer in the buffet model. And final tip, I suppose, is the fallacy of positioning. So a lot of, I think one of the worst pieces of advice for freelance copywriters is that you need to have positioning, right? You need to be the number one dating coach copywriter or the number one SaaS copywriter. I need to spend, you know, months hosting tons of content and getting businesses to come to you and, you know, building a list or building a network. Now, I'm not saying those things don't work, because of course, you know, having that kind of positioning is great. Sure, building a list works. Of course it works. Of course, building a network works. But the point I'm trying to make is that you don't need to do that. The vast majority of freelance copywriters that I speak to and the ones that I help in my own business now, my own program now, they're not trying to be the number one dating coach copywriter. They're not trying to be the number one SaaS copywriter. They're not trying to be the number one e-commerce copywriter. They just want to make like $5 to $10K a month, work with some good clients, and, you know, quit their job, have more freedom in their life. So you don't need to spend months or even years building that positioning. Instead, and this goes back to the first tip that I gave you, if you just focus on one strategy and turn that into a process that you can use that's repeatable, you know, that will negate the whole point of positioning, because people do positioning for like security, because, you know, you're always going to have clients come to you. But instead, if you focus on just one strategy, turn that into a process, there you'll be able to get clients consistently coming to you without having to spend forever building that kind of expert positioning. So yeah, those are my three tips. Hope that all made sense.
So, mate, that was just a freight train of
I was gonna say, there. I sort of just went off. Yeah.
No. That's all right. That's all right. So we've got tip one was focus on one strategy, yes, as you said, right? And then tip two is package like a buffet. So just kind of, yep, you can eat. I'll do everything. Here's the fee. $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 a month, whatever. And then tip three was don't worry about positioning. Just find a strategy that doesn't really require you to position yourself. You don't need to position yourself. How do you, because that's the thing that, you know, obviously I used positioning quite heavily. You know, my whole thing was built on this whole idea of I'm the autoresponder guy and I'm this, I went the positioning route. So I'm curious how, like when you talk about the fallacy of positioning or, don't worry about that. How do you separate yourself? How do you, you know, if you're not going to position yourself as unique or special, how do you still get clients despite that?
That's a really good question. So when I say the fallacy of positioning, I don't mean that you're trying to be a generalist and doing everything. I'm just saying that you don't need to set it up so that clients are coming to you. Now, clients don't really care if you're like the number one fitness copywriter. As long as you're good at what you do, they will hire you. As long as you can prove that you're valuable and get them results, they'll hire you. Now, when you, let's say you're doing outreach, you can still position yourself inside of outreach by putting yourself like, you know, you can, like the I help blank to blank statement. So mine for the longest time was Chatting Manner. I help fitness professionals scale and automate their online businesses with high converting copy, I believe, was my like I help blank to blank statement. So that is its own form of positioning in doing so. So it's like clients will look at that and be like, okay, this guy's exactly in my niche. He helps businesses just like me. And you know, let's see what he can do. So in that sense, you do sort of separate yourself. And also the way in which you separate yourself, it doesn't need to be with positioning. You can do it. I mean, just the nature of outreach as well, you can position yourself very uniquely with outreach. And that's exactly what I do with my own process, is the way I go about actually doing it positions me head and shoulders above a ton of other freelance copywriters. Again, hoping that doesn't sound too arrogant. And again, same with my students as well. It's positioning them head and shoulders above everyone else. But you don't need to set it up so that clients come to you was the point I was trying to make.
Right. Yeah, I get you. So it's kind of like, you know, you're really speaking to these people who think that they need to spend a year, two, 3 years building their authority, doing blogs, you know, writing blog posts and going on podcasts. I mean, they're not going to be ready to get that $5K a month client until they've done all of that sort of pre, you know, positioning work or, you know, I'm an expert authority kind of work. You're saying that you still position yourself, but you don't need to spend 3 years doing it. You can actually do it. Remember, that's the fallacy of positioning, that it takes 3 years. When you're saying, you know, it takes, you know, 30 seconds in a good, you know, depending on what strategy you're using, in a good you know, in a certain way, like could take 30 seconds on a phone call, for example. This is kind of what you're saying, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And like when you get to an income that you're happy with, let's say like 10K a month, because for the vast majority of freelance copywriters, that's like the magic number that they want to get to. So let's say you're at 10K a month and now you want to start setting it up so that clients come to you. Now you want to start building a website and posting content. Sure. Now you want to be the number one dating coach copywriter. Now you want to be the number one e-commerce copywriter. Sure. You can start doing content then if you want to. But my point is trying to do that before you have a stable income, before you're actually working with 6, 7, and 8 figure clients, before you're actually getting some traction and doing big things with your copywriting career, it's a waste of time, in my opinion.
Got it. Love it. So, and you alluded then to your process that you actually do this, you position yourself, and even just the way the process works actually works to position yourself as much better or just a much better copywriter than other people. So can you, let's talk about your process. What's it called? How does it work? And how can people maybe try a little bit of it today if they wanted to?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's called the Flaming Camel process. And I can talk about the story behind that now if you'd like, or should we do that later?
Yeah. Let's do that. I don't know if you're, by the way, with your mic, if you can lift it up a little bit, you're a little bit quiet.
Is that better?
Let's see. Do it again. Yeah, there you go.
All right, awesome. Okay, so the story behind the Flaming Camel. Right, so back in the 14th century, there was a ruthless Mongol conqueror with a Kanye West-sized god complex by the name of Amir Temur. And this guy wanted to conquer the world. He thought he was a god on earth. So he took his armies and he marched on India, which at the time was a huge superpower. Ton of money, ton of commerce and trade in India. So he marched his troops through the desert onto the capital of Delhi. But he was met on the desert and in the battlefield by the equally fearless ruler of India at the time, whose name was Sultan Mahmud Shah. And Mahmud Shah had an army that was anywhere from 5 to 10 times the size of Amir Temur's army. But the most important thing is that Mahmud Shah had 120 full armor war elephants with poison coated tusks. So the sight of this massive army with these 100 plus war elephants was enough to make half of Amir Temur's forces just like drop their stuff and run back to whence they came. But the people who remained in Amir's army were absolutely terrified. But Amir Temur was the only one who knew something that apparently no one else in his army did. And he knew that elephants scare easy. So what he did is he commanded his forces to take the camels that they were riding across the desert on and direct those camels to the front line, put the bales of hay that they were feeding the camels with on the camel's back, set the bales of hay on fire and prod the camels in the backside with their staffs and their swords. And he sent literally like 30, 40, 50, however many flaming camels at these elephants, and that totally terrified the elephants, and they wrecked havoc to Mahmud Shah's army, and Mahmud Shah fled, and Amir Temur captured and sacked Delhi. So that story relates to my process, because the way that I do outreach is very much like sending a flaming camel to a 6, 7, or 8 figure business. It's very much like sending them something that's really unique, that's very effective, and something that they've never seen before, gets me a call with them, or gets my foot in the door with them brilliantly. As of recording this, either myself and none of my students have ever sent out more than 20 flaming camels and not at the very least generated some sort of really big breakthrough kind of opportunity with a 6, 7, or 8 figure client. So that's the story behind it. That's how Flaming Camels relates to my outreach process. Now, a sort of 30,000 foot view of my process is actually at its core, it's very simple and straightforward. So we start off, there's sort of three main overall phases. So the first one would be the sort of background work, which actually is the most important bit. So this is where we do the hunting and the screening, where I have a full-blown screening process to determine exactly whether or not a prospect is, firstly, a 6, 7, or 8 figure client. Secondly, whether or not they know the value of good copy. And thirdly, if they're both willing and able to pay you what you're worth. And by pay you what you're worth, what I mean is between 3 and 5K per month. At a minimum. So the screening process that I've created, it's like a binary, yes, they're a good potential client, or no, they're not a good potential client. So that's all the hunting and screening that we do beforehand. And then sort of phase two of the 30,000 foot view of the process is what I call the client bait. Now this is a value first approach where you literally do a bit of work for the client. Now it's not like spec work. It's not what's the word I'm looking for? It's not a portfolio piece. That's the word I was looking for. It's not like a sample or anything like that. Instead, it's like a valuable piece of copywriting work that you do for the client in advance of working with them. And what it does is it engages Cialdini's rule of reciprocity on a level that no one else is doing, which is, again, goes back to a positioning thing. Just doing this alone will set you apart from all the other freelance copywriters out there just by doing this sort of value first approach. So we do that. There's two steps to it. Essentially, there's what I call the deconstruct and the construct. Deconstruct essentially is where you take some of their copy and you give them some testing suggestions. Again, there's like tons of what you can say, what you don't say. There's processes in place around that. A lot of people try this and they come across as very critique-y, which is where it totally backfires. So yeah, again, very careful with the wording there, and there are processes and systems, as I say, in place around what to say, what not to say. And then you have the construct, which is where you essentially rewrite some of their copy, but you incorporate the testing suggestions, again, done in a very specific way that I teach. But hopefully people listening to this, if they wanted to try it on their own, they absolutely can. So that's the value. And then you attach that to a cold email, which is the third and final part of the process. And yeah, the cold email is simply the vehicle for the flaming camel. So 90% of the work is done in the hunting and the screening, and then with the client bait in the middle, with the value that you provide for the prospect. And then the cold email, the way that I do cold email is quite contrarian as well. It's pretty different to, in fact, it's very different to the way everyone else teaches cold email. So my copy is kind of long. There's quite a lot to it. It's quite quirky. It's kind of tongue in cheek, but also lots of elements of persuasion and psychology have gone into that. And again, tons of trial and error, tons of testing and optimization to get to the point where I'm writing the cold email copy that I'm doing. So yeah, you attach the value, the client bait, to the cold email, and you shoot it off to the prospect. And that is the 30,000 foot view of the process and how it works.
I love it. So just to sum that up, it's first you do the research, figure out who's a good prospect, you make your prospect list. Step two is you create the bait, or create the flaming camel.
Client bait, yeah.
Yeah. So the client bait, which is the flaming camel, right? And then the cold email carries is what you just say. It's kind of interesting. I'm trying to unpack it. The camel is the cold email, and then the burning stuff is the bait. Right.
Yeah. If you wanted to relate it right back to the analogy, then yes, I suppose that'd be the best way of doing it. Yeah.
Right. Something like that. So, and just to be more specific, so you've got the prospect list with the bait. That's a list of suggestions of things they can test, things they can try in their business based on copywriting suggestions. And then part two is you then the deconstruct and the construct. So you've kind of got the tips, and then you write a cold email, write a basically an email for them, right?
Yeah. So you take their original email, same content, same structure, but you just incorporate the testing suggestions that you had in the deconstruct. And they can see what it would be like if you were to actually test that email.
Great. Okay. And then the final thing is the cold email. It's long. It's different. So what I'm curious about is, do you have any stories of people who, not just from you, but from people that you've worked with who are following this process and getting results?
Yeah, for sure. So, we have one guy that comes to mind, Michael Diggins. So when he joined the Flaming Camel, he had been doing the scatterbrain approach that I talked about before. He was jumping around from client to client, from client getting strategy to client getting strategy. He'd worked with an agency who was taking a monster cut of his pay. He joined the Flaming Camel. He learned my sniper-like process, and he stopped the shotgun stuff, shotgun blasting. And he's now got a 3K month retainer with a seven-figure client. And that seven-figure client is... I'm not going to say her name because of client privacy. Again, I don't know where I stand with that, but she is regularly ranked up there with people like Grant Cardone and Gary Vee in terms of social selling, and she's a LinkedIn sales expert. So that's a huge whale of a client that he's landed and he's working with right now. He's also got the interest of, I think he's doing some test projects with a very sort of like a mini celebrity marriage coach who's been featured in Fox News and like I believe CNN, CNBC, some of the major news networks. And that guy's actually looking to have his own TV show soon. And Michael's doing some test projects with him, hoping to transition that into a retainer. He's also got his foot in the door with a 25 million a year supplement company in Australia. And that's all I can remember off the top of my head. And then we have Amanda, who again was jumping around from strategy to strategy. She came in and learnt my process. Last we spoke, she was doing some test projects with a 12 million a year BizOp company, one of the biggest and fastest growing companies in the whole BizOp space. And then we have Bez, who has so far sent out, I believe, seven flaming camels, and he's had three very, very keen responses. One guy is a 100K a month real estate coach who wanted to bring on Les as his copywriter. I believe they're getting on the phone shortly or sometime during this month to talk about that. And he's got a couple other, he was in the real estate space, so he's targeting a couple of the real estate coaches who are keen to work with him. And we have people getting their foot in the door with a supplement company who have just been funded 15 million by Coca-Cola, like famous dating coaches with 250,000 YouTube subscribers who've been on major news networks. And that's all I can, again, all I can remember off the top of my head. Some big things are happening.
Amazing. I love all the stories. So, and then if people want to learn more about this, you set up a funnel, right? Which I can, I've created a link on the McMethod. Yeah. Okay. So we'll give them a link. It's www.themcmethod.com/shiv, S-H-I-V. So if you go to, that link, you'll hit the landing page for your Flaming Camel process, right? They'll get a case study. Can you tell them a bit about that?
Yeah, sure. So a case study that just explains more about me, my background, the story behind the Flaming Camel, sort of how it works. And then you can have a look at all the results that people have gotten. Again, I just sort of scratched the surface here. I'm trying to do it off the top of my head. On that case study, I talk more about the people who've come through my process and gotten some pretty incredible results off the back of it. And then, if you feel like the Flaming Camel is something you would like to learn and you'd like to learn from me, then you can click through and there's like an application and we'll get on the phone, have a very quick, very informal chat and see if the Flaming Camel is right for you. And if so, we could talk about working together. But again, that's totally up to you. That's if you feel like the Flaming Camel will be the next best step for you, then yeah.
Love it. Great. Good stuff, mate. Mate, it's been exciting watching this whole thing come together and just seeing where you take it.
Oh, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
So we'll wrap it up here. I think that's a good note to end on. Thank you for coming on and keep me updated on how it all goes, man.
Will do, mate. Speak soon.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening. If you want to become a well-paid freelance copywriter so you can live life on your terms, check out my webinar on how I get paid up to $10,000 to write simple, fun emails. And I'll even show you how I got started with no experience, no connections, and no formal writing training. To get the training, go to www.themcmethod.com/webinar. That's www.themcmethod.com/webinar.